This is the first episode of Season 2. If you're looking for Season 1 of Over My Dead Body, look for Tally, Episode 1 on this show's feed. This series contains descriptions of mistreatment of animals and strong language throughout. Please be advised.
It was the winter of 2014, and in a little dance hall in Wynnewood, Oklahoma, a wedding was just getting started.
Okay, I'd like to welcome you to a most unusual wedding.
The room was decorated in hot pink and tiger stripes. The audience was a mix of humans and animals.
There was several people there with different kinds of monkeys.
They were, for the most part, in their strollers or on their mom's lap or in their shirt.
Jacqueline Thompson was among the guests. She watched as three men in matching hot pink cowboy shirts and black jeans walked to the front of the hall.
Today we have gathered to witness the union of Travis, John, and Joe.
Joe said that he always had two boyfriends at a time. He never just had one.
Joe was the groom in the middle. He had a chrome pistol hanging from a leather holster around his hips and a bleach blonde mullet. His real name was Joe Schreibvogel. But he was better known as Joe Exotic.
In the book of Ecclesiastes, bet you didn't know this, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Joe was 51 years old. One of his husbands-to-be was in his late 20s, and the other was just 19.
Okay, and can we have the rings, please?
Jacqueline and the other guests watched as a small ape gripping a white satin pillow was carried up to the front of the hall.
Repeat after me. Ready? We give these rings as a token of pledge.
Joe slipped a ring on one fiancé's finger and then on the other.
You may now kiss.
After the wedding, the party moved down the street to Joe's zoo. There, Joe was in his element, climbing in and out of cages, while a camera crew captured it all for his YouTube channel. At one point, Joe led Jacqueline over to a bear cage, handed her a marshmallow, and told her, "Put it between your lips."
So I put it in my mouth, and I'm like, you know, hesitating to put my face through the bar.
And then he grabbed her head and shoved it up against the cage, inches from the bear's mouth.
And the bear just all of a sudden grabbed the food and his tongue ended up going down my throat. And all I remember is getting a mouthful of sand and slobber. It was like I was gagging. And he was just laughing so hard he almost peed his pants. And they got that on tape too.
It was a wild celebration. But in a quieter moment, Joe confided something in Jacqueline. He was haunted by a recent tragedy.
He says, "My chimp was poisoned."
Joe told Jacqueline he suspected that animal rights extremists were behind it, as well as the recent deaths of his wolf pups. And he was afraid they wouldn't be the last.
And he just started crying. He wrapped his arms around me and we just bawled together.
Then Joe said he was looking for someone to provide security,
to keep his animals safe at the zoo,
and to keep him safe. Over the years, Joe had made a lot of enemies. But there was one who kept him up at night.
He would just always call her names like that crazy bitch, that hateful bitch. It was always something bitch.
That woman was Carol Baskin.
All he talked about was, you know, that she won't leave him alone.
For 5 years now, Carol had been threatening to shut down Joe's zoo and destroy all that he had built.
He said he needed somebody that was really good with a gun that could take her out.
And now, Joe was ready to put an end to it.
And I said, "You need a sniper." And he's like, "Why, you have one?" I said, "Actually, I do."
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
From Wondery, I'm Robert Moore, and this is Over My Dead Body.
Tell me his name now. I'll put him 6 feet underground.
These are stories about two people who push each other to their limits and beyond. This season of Over My Dead Body is called Joe Exotic. And this is episode 1, The Tiger King. Just off the main highway that runs south from Oklahoma City is a little zoo. The sign at the entrance gate says the GW Zoo. But everyone who drives in knows exactly who's in charge. One hot summer day back in 2015, I drove down to this zoo. My editor had sent me there for an article about the man behind it. It was the kind of quirky piece that glossy magazines love. Odd guy, dangerous profession, and a sprinkle of controversy. When I stepped out of my rental car onto the gravel parking lot, the first thing that hit me was the smell. A thick stench of hay and cat piss and old meat. Heading toward the gift shop, I passed a sign that warned, "The zoo holds no liability for your injury or death."
Until then, you guys can wander around. You can see all the animals in the park except for the tigers or any cats. And the hyenas.
A woman with a giant heart tattooed across her chest was behind the counter with a radio in her hand.
Hey there.
Hey, how's it going?
I told her, I'm here to see Joe Exotic.
Headquarters 2A1. There's a man here by the name of Robert Moore, and he is here to write an article about Joe, and he's down here in the gift shop.
While I waited, I looked around the shop. On the counter was a donation basket with a hot pink sign that read, "Help us rebuild. We lost 8 of our babies when an arsonist burned down our studio/alligator facility." A TV on the wall played a music video starring Joe. In it, he's holding a baby tiger and singing about the evils of poaching.
Call it Armageddon. Such a painful loss when they kill all the tigers in the Holocaust. 'Cause I saw tigers.
On the shelves were a random array of items. T-shirts, underwear, packages of candy, massage oil, even condoms. All branded with Joe's face. After a few minutes, a 2-man video crew came in and pointed their camera at the door.
You mind if we do a little shooting while you guys are doing a story? I won't air it until...
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. Yeah. This is for the website?
This is for the TV show, yeah.
And then Joe arrived.
Hi, Joe.
Joe, good to meet you. Good to meet you.
His signature bleach blonde mullet fell almost to his shoulders. Around his hips were slung 2 .357 magnums and a bandolier of bullets. His ears were pierced, and so was his eyebrow. He was covered with tattoos of animals, tigers, and monkeys, and peacocks.
Okay, talk to me. What do you want to do?
Well, I just, like I said on the email, as much time as you can give me over the next couple of days, I'll just hang out and see what I can see.
Joe said he'd let me shadow him all week. He even offered me one of his trailers to sleep in.
What do you want to do first?
I guess you show me around.
We can play the animals and shit.
Okay.
Joe led me out the door and into the zoo itself, which was a labyrinth of bare steel cages. We passed a hyena, some monkeys, a kangaroo, and a bunch of raccoons. The camera crew followed us as we walked from cage to cage.
We have 16 acres here, and we've got 24 next door.
Okay.
All different kinds of animals, grizzly bears, alligators.
And then we turned a corner.
Tigers, 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 tigers. Oh, tigers all the way down that road. We'll go down there.
Joe said he had nearly 200 of them. They were packed in, two, sometimes three to a cage. I'd never seen so many tigers. This was why people called Joe the Tiger King. Growing up, Joe Schreibvogel was a misfit. Scrawny, shy, secretly gay, and obsessed with animals. He moved around a lot. Wyoming, Kansas, Texas. By his early 20s, Joe was living in West Palm Beach, Florida. He was at a low point in his life when his neighbors invited him over. Joe walked into their living room, and there, sitting on their peach-colored carpet, was a lion cub. His neighbor handed Joe a baby bottle, and Joe got down on the floor and fed it.
Kind of hard to explain. It's like you're in awe that there's actually a real live baby lion, you know, at your fingertips, not to mention how soft they are. And I remember the first time that it didn't chuff. You know, baby lions go, it was just crazy, amazing.
Joe had found his calling. He moved back to Texas and opened a pet store. And then, in 1999, he bought an old horse ranch and started this zoo with his husband at the time, Brian Ryan, a former hairdresser from Tulsa. Joe named the zoo in honor of his late brother, Gerald Wayne. It was supposed to be a home for abandoned and abused animals. When it opened, all he had were a buffalo, some emus, a mountain lion, and a bear named Boo. A few months after the zoo opened, Joe got a phone call from a local game warden.
Somebody had moved out of a housing complex down in South Ardmore off of Highway 70 and left some tigers and stuff in the backyard. And we were like, really?
Joe and his crew decided to check it out. They got into a couple of trucks and headed over.
We pull up to this yard and the police are there, the sheriff's department's there, the game wardens are there. And I'll be goddamn in the backyard if there isn't two tigers, a mountain lion, and a black leopard.
Joe could see these animals were in a really bad way. They'd been living in cat houses made of rough concrete.
And they are so skinny because they just moved and left them there that these animals had got a hold of garden hoses and they were eating garden hoses and shitting out garden hoses because that's all they had to eat on.
They'd clearly been mistreated. The owner had filed down the mountain lion's teeth, exposing the nerve endings. Joe shot them each with a tranquilizer dart, and one by one, they passed out. Then he and his crew carefully loaded them into cages and onto the trailer.
Dude, everybody was like super excited because it was our first rescue, and law enforcement thought we did such a hell of a job. They gave us a police escort all the way back to the park, so that way they wouldn't wake up until we got back to the park.
Over the next few weeks, Joe nursed them back to health.
And, dude, I locked myself in the cage with them to clean the cages and everything else because I was the only one there all the time. Because at that time, Brian was already starting to get sick. So he didn't come out much.
Brian, Joe's husband, was dying. They'd been married more than a decade. Everyone around the zoo agreed that Brian kept Joe grounded.
He was literally Joe's better half.
Joe is very extravagant and flamboyant and leaps before he thinks. And Brian was the one that would pull back the reins.
Brian had lived with HIV for the past 4 years. One night, in the winter of 2001, Brian started coughing and couldn't stop. The pain in his chest was unbearable. Joe called an ambulance.
We got to the emergency room, and the doctor, you know, pulled me aside, and he says, if I give him this pain shot, he says, you know it's going to kill him. And I said, man, I said, he hasn't talked in over a week. I said, he's nothing but skin and bones. He weighs 90 pounds. I said, give him the fucking shot, man. I said, he's suffering. It's going to take me a minute.
The following morning, Brian was discharged.
The doctor said there was nothing more they could do.
And we put him in a wheelchair to take him down outside the emergency room.
Joe picked Brian up and put him in his pickup truck.
And he died right there. And then they wouldn't let me in the hospital with him because he was dead and he was on hospice. So I had to sit in the parking lot with a sheet over him until the funeral home got there.
Someone once told me that there was Joe Schreibvogel and there was Joe Exotic. And these are kind of two different people.
Exactly. Yes. I knew Joe Schreibvogel. After Brian passed away, Joe Exotic came to be.
And then Joe Schreibvogel was...
gone.
This is your last chance to save 65% on a full year of BODi. I'm Carl, co-founder of BODi. That's B-O-D-I. And I want to help you lean into your decision to start working out and eating better. Right now, if you sign up for a one-year subscription to BODi, I'll give you 65% off. Look, I know it's not easy to get fit and lose weight, especially if you're trying to figure it out by yourself. But we make it simple. Just follow a program for 20 to 30 minutes day by day and lose 5 to 10 pounds a month. We have over 120 programs that have been tested and proven to work, and almost 300,000 five-star reviews in the App Store to prove it. BODi also has complete eating plans and thousands of healthy, delicious recipes. So stop guessing and start seeing results with BODi. And let me give you 65% off right now so you save big on the app that CNN underscored named Best Fitness App. But the sale ends this week, so don't wait. Sign up for a year of BODi and save 65%. Just go to BODi.com. That's B-O-D-I with an I.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
After his husband's death, Joe began spending a lot more time at the gay bars in Oklahoma City.
The reason we first paid attention to him was he's got a mullet that still sticks out even in Oklahoma.
This is Floyd Martin.
I'm the unofficial gay mayor of Oklahoma City.
Floyd would often spend his nights out at the Copa, a gay dance bar just off Route 66. At about 11 p.m. one Saturday night in the early 2000s, the club was packed. That's when Joe walked in, wearing a cowboy hat and boots. And he wasn't alone.
He brought a damn tiger in there. I was there, the door person didn't say anything, they let him do it. And I was like, this is a disaster waiting to happen. Loud music and drunks and a man with a wild animal.
Anywhere you go, you're popular because you got tigers.
And Joe really liked being popular. Around this time, he met a young magician named Johnny Magic. They briefly teamed up. Johnny did the tricks, and Joe provided the animals. For their big showstopper, Johnny transformed a baby tiger into a full-grown one. Their first show together drew an audience of 800 people. Joe was hooked. He taught himself how to perform magic tricks. Then he bought a Frito-Lay delivery truck, filled it with a bunch of animals from a zoo, and started touring the country. As his shows got bigger and bigger, he upgraded to an 18-wheeler and bought a bunch of fancy Vegas-style illusions. And he also gave himself a new name.
We're talking this morning about the upcoming Mystical Magic of the Endangered Show. It's coming to the Valley View Mall.
Yes, ma'am.
We welcome you this morning.
Well, thanks
now,
for
tell
having
us who you are and who you have with us.
Well, my real name is Joe Schreibvogel. I go by Joe Exotic because nobody ever knows how to say Schreibvogel.
This
is little Ricky.
Joe and his crew would tour shopping malls, flea markets, and convention centers all over the country.
He walked with purpose. His outfits were fantastic. His props looked good.
Aaron Stone was Joe's assistant.
But then he opened his mouth. And I still can't reconcile personally how that voice was able to keep an audience's attention. You have all the spectacle, the lights, there's pyrotechnics, all the flashy backdrops, the gorgeous outfits, and then,
good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
One afternoon in East Texas, Joe and Aaron were preparing for a show at the town's convention center. They were expecting a big crowd. The local newspaper had written an article about the show, featuring live tigers. They were practicing the show's most elaborate illusion. An explosion goes off, and then a tiger appears in a cage.
And the tiger that we had on stage that night for that rehearsal freaked out. He could not handle that loud noise. It was terrifying. If we brought him out on stage, he would be cowering in the back of the prop and it would look bad. It would be an instant PR nightmare.
But Joe had an idea. They headed to a flea market.
And suddenly, one of the other stagehands runs up to me and says, "Joe needs you right now." Made it sound like a big emergency. So I get dragged over to this trailer where there's a bunch of animals in, and Joe says, "I know how we can save the show." "Oh? What are we going to do?" "We just need to get one of these sheep."
Next, Joe went to a Halloween store and came back with a bunch of orange and black spray paint.
And he explained that we're just going to paint this sheep. And he thinks that from a considerable distance, no one's going to know that it's not a tiger. So he puts the sheep in a box, just, you know, to help keep it corralled, spray paints it all orange, and then gives it a couple of really basic, easy stripes with just some quick dashes of the black can.
They loaded the tiger-striped sheep into the cage and ran the rehearsal again. But when the explosion went off, the sheep also got spooked.
Then it became apparent that someone is going to have to be in the prop to make sure that people can see the quote-unquote tiger.
Joe picked Aaron.
So there I am, hiding in a secret compartment, hugging a painted sheep. Pyro goes off, trapdoor opens. There I am, in a suit, hugging this terrified, fuzzy creature. And there wasn't really applause in the crowd. There was a quick, like, ooh, because Pyro. But then a bunch of confusion. I can only imagine that they just saw, there's a guy holding a sheep on stage.
Afterward, when people asked Joe what kind of animal that was, Joe told them with a straight face that it was a tiger. But all this was just bait for the real moneymaker.
You want to pet the tiger?
Jaren, you going to pet him?
Right there in the mall, between the sunglasses stands and phone case kiosks, Joe set up large cages with fake grass. Inside, people could hold a tiger cub in their laps for $25. It was a hit. A long weekend at a mall could pull in thousands of dollars. Joe's biggest year yet was 2009. Joe was winning new fans all across the country. But he was also making a new enemy.
This video shows cubs being displayed in a mall by one of Joe Schreibvogel's entities. The cubs have severe diarrhea.
In 2010, a secretly recorded video appeared online.
Instead of removing the sick cubs from the display, Joe's workers just keep wiping the floor and then wiping the poor cubs' bottoms over and over. You can see the cubs' red, sore bottoms. Listen to the cubs' squeal.
The video had been released by Carol Baskin of Big Cat Rescue.
For more information on Joe Schreibvogel and others who abuse animals, visit 911animalabuse.com.
The video was narrated by her husband, Howard. For years, animal rights groups like PETA had been trying to stop Joe's roadshow, but he'd always been able to shrug them off, even if it meant changing his stage name. But this was different. This Carol person was relentless. She posted on her website that Joe was pimping cubs in shopping malls. She contacted journalists and criticized Joe in the harshest terms possible.
When someone said in a newspaper article that the animals were being abused at one of his events, he would easily, like, break down and cry.
She even had spies tracking his every move.
How did they even find us? How did they know? Carol's got people watching us. I have to be careful where I post things. Carol will find out. He seemed to think that she had this personal vendetta against him.
Malls began canceling on him. One, and then five, and then dozens. Joe felt hunted.
As time went on, hearing Carol's name became like a grenade in the office.
Everything he'd built, his entire kingdom, was under attack. And it would only get worse.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Good.
On the second day of my visit to the zoo in Oklahoma, Joe stood in front of an empty tiger cage holding a megaphone. In front of him sat a large audience made up mostly of rowdy kids. Joe was working the crowd.
We're going to get baby tigers out. We're going to wrap you up in snakes. You're going to French kiss camels. We're going to put you in a cage with full-grown wolves.
But right before he stepped into the cage, Joe's expression became serious. He clutched the holster on his hip.
I carry guns because the animal rights people crawl in the park in the middle of the night and poison the animals.
The crowd suddenly went silent. He told them that some fanatics believe animals are better off dead than in a cage.
A few months ago, they poisoned all my chimpanzees, which are buried behind this waterfall over here. Last month, somebody came in the month of March and blew up our alligator house and killed all of our alligators.
Joe turned and gestured toward a patch of scorched concrete just off to his left, where the alligator house once stood. A couple of kids looked on the verge of tears.
So between the hours of 7 o'clock at night and 8 o'clock in the morning, climb my fences and try and hurt my animals, and I will cap you in the butt. Okay? All right. That's why I carry guns, all right? So, kids, when I get these tigers out, okay, you can ooh and all, but don't talk, okay, because they'll be eyeballing you, all right?
2 days later, Joe was in his recording studio. He just finished taping his show when his radio crackled to life.
What's up?
Morgan was an extremely rare tiger-lion hybrid known as a liger. A liger is what you get when you breed a lion with a tiger to get a liger, and then breed that liger with a lion. These hybrid cats were Joe's pride and joy. He and his staff rushed over to Morgan's cage. Morgan was lying on her side, dead.
This is the hard part of having an animal.
For the past few days, Joe had noticed something looked wrong with her. Now he suspected Morgan had been poisoned.
Her third eyelid kept coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other time I've ever seen anything like that is with drugs.
We loaded Morgan's golden yellow body onto the back of a pickup truck and drove her to the vet. On the operating table, the vet sliced her open and removed her organs.
Her stomach is grossly enlarged.
Sorry, pregnancy.
I'm sorry.
You smell that, Claire, in there?
The cat's body had been lying in the hot sun for most of the day, and by now, it stunk. So bad, the vet's assistant had to rush off to the bathroom to vomit. The vet checked out all the cat's organs one by one. Then, she determined the cause of death.
I think the heat got her. I think if it was wintertime, she probably would have been fine.
It wasn't poisoning.
We haul the liger back to the zoo to a small graveyard near the burned-out alligator house. I picked up a shovel and helped his employees dig down through the hard, sandy soil. When we finished, we placed a bouquet of pink plastic roses on top of the grave. Three other bouquets sat on nearby graves. They'd clearly been there a while.
So who's buried here? One of them's a chimp,
right? Chimpanzees.
A horse.
Three chimpanzees. A horse back there, a lion back there.
One of these is a chimp that was poisoned, right?
Two.
When the chimps had died, Joe had made a big deal out of it. He even produced a music video of the burial and put it on YouTube. But that day, nothing. No cameras, no Facebook posts. Joe never mentioned it again. On my last night at the zoo, we went out to dinner at a Mexican restaurant. We were a large crowd. A rapper from Dallas had been at the zoo, and Joe invited him and his entourage to join us. A couple of other people tagged along, too. When we walked in the door, everyone stopped eating and turned to watch us. We sat at a large, round table at the back of the restaurant and ordered platters of enchiladas and giant cups of Coke. The mood was festive. Even when the conversation turned to the topic of Joe's number one enemy, Carol Baskin. Someone asked Joe about a lawsuit Carol had launched against him.
Trying to sue you for everything.
Joe explained that Carol had sued him for $1 million, all over what he said was just a harmless prank.
But was it worth it? Is the question.
It wasn't worth it.
Joe got a funny look in his eyes. He said, "Oh yeah, it's going to be worth it."
I bought a white AR-15 for that special occasion.
Go find her.
Joe was seated next to a young woman with long, glossy black hair, who kept egging him on.
Don't you want to make her suffer?
Now, dude, I want it over in a hurry. Bam! Right between the eyes.
Bam! Right between the eyes.
I used to never fantasize about somebody's brains or a wall.
I used to never fantasize about someone's brains on a wall. Oddly, Joe didn't seem to care that a reporter was sitting right across the table from him.
That's on the record. Just look at it this way. When they read about me in the funny papers, you have first hand on the exclusive story afterwards. She has drove me to that point.
She has drove me to that point. At the restaurant that night, I figured all this talk of guns and brains on the wall, it was part of the Joe Exotic act. No one seemed to be taking it that seriously. But I wondered, did Carol Baskin? So I went to Tampa.
There is nothing on this planet that is more wicked than a bobcat. And I love them for that. They can go from purring and cuddly to just wanting to kill you in the flash of an eye.
On this season of Over My Dead Body.
I am hell-bent on proving she killed her husband.
She warned me about the place. It's a very much a Jim Jones experience.
Come after me and let's get this over with, face to face. I don't care if it has to happen on Jerry Springer, in a federal courtroom, or in a back pasture, but your days are numbered.
Blood was spurting out of his temple like someone had a super soaker in his head and was shooting it out.
And a couple other guys came running out and going, call the police. He burned it down. He got $20,000 from Carol Baskin. We know.
You really got to call me back. He was actually talking about paying someone to kill you. He tried to get me to do it.
From Wondery, this is episode 1 of 6 of Over My Dead Body. This season is called Joe Exotic, a story about two people who want to save animals and destroy each other. To listen to all 6 episodes ad-free, go to Wondery Plus. That's wondery.com/PLUS. If you'd like to help us spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and every major listening app, as well as Wondery.com. If you're listening on a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of this podcast. You'll find the episode notes, including some details you may have missed. You'll also find some offers from our sponsors. Supporting them helps us offer our shows for free. And thank you. Joe Exotic was written and reported by me, Robert Moore. Associate producer is Chris Siegel. Story editor is Josh Block. Produced by Heather Schroering. Sound design by Jeff Schmidt. Executive produce by George Lavender, Marsha Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Over My Dead Body ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.